How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. Tim, this is interesting. When we kicked off this show back in 2006, one of our first guests in the first year there was out promoting a book called The Hunt for the Skinwalker Ranch, right? Or Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Correct.
Colm Kelleher.
Yeah.
Our guest. And I remember that episode absolutely blew us away, and the concept of what could possibly be going on this ranch sounded too fantastic to believe, but that there was all of this research going on there, and private, you know, sectors, government had owned it. It was just, there was so much surrounding this story. And through the years, I mean, gosh, 14 years we've been on the air. People refer back to that episode quite often. And what are the updates from Skinwalker? And, you know, God, I wish we had updates from Skinwalker, because they've been so tight-lipped about it. And even Colm Kelleher, who I was reaching out to have back on the show about a year ago, was primed to come back on the show to talk a little bit more about this. George Knapp was talking about coming on, and all of a sudden there was just gag order, and I couldn't figure out why. Both of them went dead silent and said they weren't allowed to talk about this, and I didn't know what was happening. But, you know, I figured, okay, well, maybe the secrets are just going to stay buried. But then, Tim, History Channel came out with a new series that'll be actually, it begins airing on March 31st on History Channel. So folks, if you need to pause the program right now and go set your DVR so that you don't miss The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. It's a brand new nonfiction series premiering on History Channel March 31st at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central. And for the first time ever, Tim, the first time ever, History Channel is gaining full, unprecedented access to one of the most infamous and secretive hotspots of paranormal and UFO-related activities on planet Earth. The Skinwalker Ranch's secrets are finally going to be divulged in a new one-hour nonfiction series that premieres again Tuesday, March 31st on the History Channel. Few have ever even gained official access to Skinwalker Ranch, and none have been able to bring cameras onto the property for a television series until now. And I had a chance to watch the first four episodes. They're phenomenal. I like the science. I like the fact that they're showing never before seen footage of the ranch, what it contains. And the series features a team of scientists and experts who are conducting this daring and very thorough search of this infamous 512-acre property. What's really going on there? Well, we've got one of the leads of this program, one of the scientists behind the investigation, joining us on today's program, astrophysicist, scientist Travis Taylor. He's been hired to come on board as the official scientist for the ranch to conduct scientific studies and experiments to try and determine what is actually occurring on this ranch, from extreme radiation to strange light anomalies and more. Travis Taylor is with us now. Travis, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. And first off, it's Dr. Travis Taylor.
Oh, Dr. Travis Taylor. I apologize, sir.
No, I'm just messing with you. But thanks for having me.
And to give a little background for our listeners around the world, Dr. Taylor has worked on various programs for the United States Department of Defense and NASA now for over 16 years, currently working on several advanced propulsion concepts, very large space telescopes, space-based beam energy systems, high-energy lasers, and next-generation space launch concepts. So you're really bringing quite the pedigree to a program like this. And I was curious, in the work that you do to step into the quote-unquote reality television realm and examine something with such a high woo content as the Skinwalker Ranch, were you concerned about that, Doctor, of how it would affect your, you know, your legacy and all the work that you've done to this point?
Well, so actually a couple things. That resume that you read sounds like it was 9 years old, because I've been at it for about 25 years now. But I've been kind of doing writing that resume for books and TV things for a while, and you, who knows. But it, the point is, a lot of so-called mainstream scientists, or whatever you want to call them, professional, highly credentialed scientists or whatever, tout that they're following the scientific method and so on, when they say nonsense like extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Carl Sagan put that on to the scientific community back in the 70s and 80s, and it has hamstrung science research tremendously, and it has nothing to do with the scientific method. Scientific method never says extraordinary claims or extraordinary evidence. What it says is you come up with a hypothesis based on a background research and literature research, and then you design a experiment to test the hypothesis that is repeatable. Then when you report your results, others in the community can go and do the same experiments to see if they get the same results. Did I ever say extraordinary anywhere in any of that? No, I didn't.
Nope.
And so what happened because of the nonsense that Carl Sagan started with that is that you created what now they call fringe science, which there's no such thing. Never in science is there something that says fringe science. What it says is you see a phenomena, you go and observe it and study it. And it's one of those things that I like to say in a lot of interviews and talks and so on, that if we only look under the street lamp for our keys when we lose them, you're never going to find your damn keys.
I like that. I like that. It's a good way to examine. I just, you know, I we've spoken over 14 years to scientists and people that have been involved in examining strange phenomena, and many of them have said that they were reluctant and reticent to do so because of that stigma that goes over them. I was just curious if that was ever a concern for you, or no, let's just get answers. That's the important
thing. My approach to that is to steamroll through that nonsense, because it's just that nonsense. I'll take the absolute bull in the china shop approach to that. I follow, and I mentioned it on the show a few times, I sort of follow a philosophy in science that my grandmother taught me as a kid. She told me that a hornet's nest isn't much fun until you poke it with a stick.
That's right. As a matter of fact, you mentioned that in the episode. I think in the first episode you've got. Now, Skinwalker Ranch, obviously this place has got so many bizarre claims surrounding it, from shape-shifting animals to ghostly appearances, shadow figures, voices, UFO phenomena, light anomalies, radiation, so many strange things that are going on. In pulling you into this investigation, did they have a specific idea in mind for you of what they wanted you to do, or were they just, we want you to bring science to this, and what are you going to develop?
Right, so no, I don't want to talk, you know, about the process that the other guys used before me in Bigelow's era. But the reason why things got clamped down on you, you mentioned it earlier, is because Bigelow sold it to a new owner. So a new billionaire owns the place. And this billionaire, he wants to follow a very concise, controlled scientific methodology. And so for the first couple of years, they only wanted to observe it. And when they start talking to History Channel, they decide it's time for the next phase of research, where they actually start doing experiments and start poking it, so to speak. And that's what I'm kind of good at. And so they asked me if I would come in and help them lead an experimental phase and a test phase. And so that's what we're doing now. And I got to tell you, to prepare for it, I watched George Knapp's stuff and I read Colm Kelleher's book that George Knapp helped him write. And I watched a bunch of other YouTube videos and this and that. And I thought, all these guys are nuts. You know, this is just people telling ghost stories around a campfire. And I didn't see in any of that, even in Kelleher's book, and I suspect it's because of the restraints that Bigelow put on him, was there wasn't any scientific data in the book that said this is real. It was just guys saying this is what they saw or heard or did. And so I was very skeptical. In fact, I went in to the first meeting with these guys from the New Billionaires team. They told me all this stuff they'd seen or whatever, and I actually told them that I thought they were crazy. And it wasn't long, though, I'll tell you, after being out there on the ranch, that I looked at one of them square in the eye and I said, you know what? I think I'm just as crazy as you guys.
Right, and I know we don't want to give much away on this, folks, but I will tell you, after having watched documentaries and paranormal series, like many of you now, going on 20 years, this is one of the few episodes in, or episodic series I think you're going to really enjoy. Because the one thing you've all enjoyed is, of course, the high woo content, but you've always asked for the scientific approach. We need methodology. We want to examine. We want to break down the concepts, not just jump in both feet, assuming that it's just straight up paranormal. And I really do appreciate that about this program, is that you do take this element of science and apply it, but you make it accessible so that I don't watch it and think I'm not getting bored because I don't understand what you're doing. I'm not getting bored because it's big scientific speak. You guys really make it so that we're all a part of this journey with you. Was it hard to try to keep the concepts elaborate enough to get the results you wanted, but understandable for the audience to be able to go along with you on this journey?
Well, so for years, I've taught undergraduate and grad students the philosophy that if you can't explain it to an elementary school kid, then you don't truly understand it. And now there are some things that without a lot of math and so on, you can't explain to people. Like quantum physics, it's real difficult to explain the details of, but you can give the general idea. And so I try to take the approach as best I can that no matter how complicated the thing is, to break it down into at least similes and metaphors that even elementary school kids could understand it. And that's the approach that I took. So I didn't dumb down the experiments just so I could explain them at all. We did as much complicated experiments as we could afford to do with the budget for research that we had. And then following the experiment and results for the TV purposes, explain it as best I could to the third grader, so to speak.
Let's roll back a little bit prior to your work on this on the series. Did you have any thoughts, beliefs on what we term the supernatural, ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, any of that?
Yeah. So as far as like ghosts and things like that are concerned, I've always said, you know, there's been, I forget the magician's name, has had $1 million reward for anyone that can prove it for
Randy. Yeah.
For like a decade or two now, and nobody's ever won that $1 million. And so I've always said, if there was evidence, $1 million is enough to get someone to go find it. And unless there's something going on here that while you might want to call it paranormal, supernatural, whatever, is just something that we don't understand yet, whether it's a natural phenomena or technology or serendipitous events that the universe is doing. We don't understand it. You know, it's magic until we understand it. And so my approach is to go into it first, see what the phenomena is, and then start trying to experiment with it and figure out if we can understand it. I'm not a believer in ghosts. I'm not a believer in UFOs. I'm not a believer in those types of things. I'm a scientist. I don't believe really in anything until I can see evidence that it exists. or that's the approach I take. Now, I will say that there is a heck of a lot of evidence out there that suggests that things like UFOs are real phenomena, whether they're aliens or whatever, that I can't say. And I've heard, had anecdotal evidence with relatives that did things that seemed psychic or paranormal that can't be explained. And I watched my great-grandfather witch wells for everybody in my neighborhood as a kid growing up, and I can't explain that at all. So, you know, that's just the way you have to look at life.
Now, witch wells, that's for people that are not of the know. You're talking dowsing. He would be able to find water. Okay.
Yeah, in the South, we call it witching. But it is dowsing, yes. And I watched my great-granddad do that so many times, and I tried to debunk it and hack what he was doing, and I never could figure out how he did it.
What? Okay, well, I'm sure you asked him, though. I mean, what exactly was he tuning into? And this will play into the rest of this conversation, but, you know, again, having this predilection for wanting to get to the answers and you trying to debunk it, what methodologies did you put into play to try to figure out how he was making this happen?
Yeah, he died when I was in high school. So, I mean, I had not developed all of my scientific skill set yet. But as a kid watching him do it, I mean, I would hold his hands and try to keep him from moving the stick. I would try to trick him, you know, take him to look at a place that we knew there was water, like a sewer underground or something. And every time he got the right answer, and I could never explain it. And people that were digging wells would ask him to come tell them where to dig. And he'd tell them, yeah, you need to dig here and go to about 70 feet and you'll hit water. And every time he was right on the money. And I cannot explain that.
So, as you said, as a scientist, you kind of need to see in order to believe. You hear all these claims when they first approach you to be a part of this and do the research, and you're going through and reading. You said it sounded crazy and unbelievable, but, you know, was there ever a point that was even a bit of a turnoff to you, that you were like, yeah, this just sounds like a bunch of supernatural hooey?
Well, so yes, and me and my wife talked about it a lot, about how I really don't want to get into ghost hunting or whatever, and it make me look like, in the general populace and even to the scientific community, that I'm not following scientific methodologies. Even though I don't really care about what they think, you still have to, you know, make a living. But because this was Kevin Burns at Prometheus that was doing this, and I trust Kevin with my life that he's not going to put me in a situation where he's asking me to say something happened that didn't, I was perfectly okay with doing it. And for those of you who don't know who Kevin Burns is, he's the owner, CEO of Prometheus, that does Curse of Oak Island and Ancient Aliens and The Unexplained. And he did the Tesla File show that I was on a few years back. And I trust Kevin not to do made up stuff.
You step out there in the first episode, and it's obvious to see that you're intrigued by the claims. You want to start to try to get to the answers. And pretty quickly into that first episode, and again, I'm not going to give anything away, strange things begin to happen that do capture your attention. I mean, was that legitimately a surprise to you that it was that quick into your investigation that this, I don't want to say unnatural phenomena, because we don't know if it is a natural phenomena at this point, but this seemingly unnatural phenomena would take place that quickly?
Yeah, so let me tell you, that ranch is as far away from the street lamp as you can get. And so that's where we were looking for the keys, so to speak. And I had conversations with the production crew and Kevin Burns, you know, and the History Channel folks before we started. And I was like, how are we going to get 8 episodes of us looking for something that doesn't exist? And I thought, these guys are all making up campfire stories. How are we going to make this interesting for 8 episodes? And I mean, I wasn't there 30 minutes and stuff started being scientifically measurable that was unexplainable. And for the longest, for the first few weeks I was there, I was like, okay, there's a top secret government program going on out here. I've got to dig into that and find out what's happening.
Well, Okay, you bring up an interesting point. And not too far from that area, they did nuclear testing. Is there a chance that after all these years that that could still be impacting and affecting specific areas? You know, the fallout, the radiation, any of that?
Well, so we so let me talk about that a little bit. That would be a long-term exposure event, not the strange random things that we saw across different phenomena. And I'm using big buzzwords to keep from being too specific because I don't want to give it all away.
I appreciate it.
But what I suspect, and I've done some studying on sicknesses and diseases in the Uinta Basin there in Utah, where the ranch is the dead center of. And it looks like gallbladder and kidney issues and maybe even some other internal issues are pretty high in that region as opposed to the rest of the country. And it could likely be from residual fallout that spread over that area after the above ground nuclear testing out in Nevada and in New Mexico. But that's a long-term thing like cancer, right? That's not what we're seeing on the ranch. What we're seeing on the ranch are strange spikes of energy across the entire electromagnetic spectrum and strange radiation, strange events that are just honestly, I thought we were going to find a classified program. They were going to come tell us, yep, this is it, shut up. And I've looked and through my various contacts, whatever, and there is nothing that humanity is doing out there that I can point to that's causing this weird phenomenon.
From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories comes an awesome new true crime podcast, I Survived. I Survive shares firsthand accounts of amazing stories of survival. We get a teaser right now for I Survive that you can check out, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Here's that trailer right now.
I survived because I convinced him that I was a person.
I survived because I was a smarter person than my assailant.
I survived because I believe God saved me.
From the network that brought you the Cold Case Files podcast comes I Survived.
He had his right hand held high up in the air, and in that hand was a big knife.
The classic stories you know.
Pointed the gun at me and he said, if you don't smoke this, I'm going to kill you. And he forced me to smoke crack.
And I said, it looks like dynamite. And he said, if you do not do every single thing we tell you to do, you will disintegrate.
With new interviews, updating each woman's story with everything that happens after survival.
I was waking up in the middle of the night, standing on top of our bed, screaming, and I was positive he was in the room.
I felt like a throwaway person. I didn't think anybody would ever love me again.
We talk about the justice system.
My testimony, I was not a tearful widow. And I think the jury saw me as someone who was not grieving appropriately.
How they started to heal.
I know in the Black community, there's like this stigma that if you go get help, like there's something wrong with you.
I really felt strongly that I needed to just basically give away everything we had and drive to Alaska.
And so much more.
I don't know. You just have to let people understand that every reaction is normal. And if you survived it, you did the right thing.
That which does not kill you will make you stronger. I am so much stronger than I was even before. And I've really enjoyed feeling that way.
Surviving is just the beginning of their story. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, folks. Remember, it's on History Channel beginning March 31st, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Dr. Travis Taylor, our guest today on the program as we discuss this. When you get there and start kind of bandying about some ideas, there's a little pushback from time to time from your fellow investigators. You just stated that you were, you know, you kind of thought maybe you're going to get out there and realize that there's some kind of governmental experiment taking place there. When they start pushing back on you, your own compatriots in this investigation, did that even start to solidify it a little bit more that maybe they're aware of what's going on more than they're giving more than they're letting on?
Well, so I have to say that from a government standpoint, I'm more in the know than those guys are. Those guys are purely funded by the billionaire. And I've had a career of, you know, Defense Department and space defense industry research. And I asked around and so on. And that wasn't what it was. It was more of. So let me explain that. When Bigelow bought the property, and even the people that bought the property before Bigelow and before them, for some reason, there's a weird rider in the deed that says don't dig on the ranch. And so that's created this stigma, this dogma around the ranch that, oh, if you dig, you know, weird stuff, bad stuff is going to happen. You know, you're going to grow a third arm out of your forehead or something. And so these guys, it had been passed along to them, don't dig on the ranch. Bad stuff happens. And it turns out that they had done some previous digging before I got there by about 6 months. And one of the guys was put in the hospital because of it. And it's a strange event, and you'll see more details of it on the show. But so they had a little bit of reason to be nervous. And when I came out there and said, I want to start poking holes everywhere and doing this and that, they were like, now, hold on a minute. Let's tell you about all the bad stuff that's happened.
Right. And you know, when they're telling you even beforehand, before Bigelow got it, don't dig, does that start to put in a concern that, you know, with all the nuclear testing that was done in our past, is there a possibility some of this property might have been used as dumping grounds for any of the after effects?
Well, so that was one of my original thoughts, is somebody buried some illegal toxic stuff there and they didn't want us to find it. Or, you know, when I did more research on it, I realized that there's a lot of uranium ore in the Uinta Basin. And so I thought, well, maybe there's uranium there that they don't want people digging up without the proper safety gear and so on. But you have to really enrich the uranium you dig up to make it dangerous. And so I kept looking into it. But then it turns out that the deeds that say this is long before we ever did above ground nuclear testing. So then that led me to, oh, well, maybe it's an old Indian burial ground or something like that, that they're afraid of disturbing some, you know, special place to the local natives. And we still haven't come across the exact answer to that, as far as I'm concerned. But I did find out later that when Bigelow got there, he got a bulldozer on the property and just started digging holes.
You're talking about the Native American tribes and such. This is pretty rich Native American territory. The property itself is contained. How about the properties that are butting up against the Skinwalker Ranch? Are there many claims coming from ranchers or property owners that that seem to be aligning with the same kind of phenomena you're getting at the ranch?
So let me just say that whatever this phenomena is, I don't think it cares about the fences that some dude put up around the edge of a 500-acre property. And, you know, why would it care? If it's supernatural, how's a fence going to keep it out? So number one, you say, then why is the ranch the hotspot? Well, if you look at the Uinta Basin, which is a big bowl, and I'm convinced it's a meteor impact site. Go Google Earth it and look at it, and you can see it looks like the meteor impacted in a traveling trajectory from east to west. It created, when the meteor hit, it created all the salt flats. And by the way, the area of the Uinta Basin is filled with gilsonite, which is one of the few places in the world you can find it, and we make asphalt out of it. And so I'm thoroughly convinced there was an impact site, but the Skinwalker Ranch is dead center of the big bowl of the basin of the crater that was created. So maybe it's just ground zero.
Okay, understood. Now, have you talked to local Native American representatives to see any of the stories or history or their perhaps oral tradition of their understanding of what's gone on in that area.
Oh, yeah. We had so it's the Utes and the Navajos that were fighting over this region. And I get them confused, but I think it was the Utes were going and attacking the Navajos and taking their women and children. It could have been the other way around. And I'm always careful to talk about this. This happened hundreds of years ago, and I don't want to create some tribal issue between the two tribes now. But so back then, I think it was the Navajos put the curse on the Utes, or vice versa. You can check the history on it. And the idea was this curse was this a demon shapeshifter called the Skinwalker would travel the borders of the boundaries between the two tribes and keep them out. Now, we'll tell you that the natives out there, even today, when they drive by the ranch, they'll turn and look away. They won't even look at the place. And we had a couple of shaman come out there. I don't know if you call them shaman, you know, whatever, chief, witch, you know, medicine man, whatever, the wise elders of the two different tribes out there. And they both told us histories that were very fantastic.
You, during one of the investigations, there's an audible anomaly that captures your attention. It could be something, and you guys do address the fact that it could be something natural because of being outdoors in Utah. Because every corner of that ranch seems to be covered by cameras, I'm just curious, were they ever able to look through any of the other footage to see what might have created that noise? Because I don't remember you going back to that in the episode.
It happened so instantaneously, you know, so serendipitously, and it didn't happen again in that time frame. So we couldn't pinpoint which direction it came from. Out there where the way the mesa is, when you can create a sound that kind of just travels, and it's real difficult to tell which direction it came from. Excuse me. So we looked around and we kept listening for it, but we didn't hear it again that time. Now, I will say that Eric Bard, who is sort of our command center guru, he runs all the cameras and audible equipment and all that stuff, and he's picked up many times over the years sounds that are unexplainable. Excuse me.
When you say unexplainable, aside from, you know, like the noise that you heard in the episode, can you give us any kind of concept? I mean, are there mechanical sounds? Are there human cries, voices, things that are appearing that shouldn't theoretically be out there, especially at the times that they're recording?
So the answer to that question is yes. It's everything you can almost imagine. We hear crazy, strange digging. I don't know what the right word is, but mechanical, very loud sounds underground. And we hear stuff, eerie sounds just coming from everywhere, like a cicada hatch, but it's not cicadas. We hear crazy animal cries. And one of the biggest things, our best security alarm is William. He's the ranch dog, and it's funny. He liked to sleep right under my camper trailer while I was out there. And if anything ever strange was about to happen, William would start barking a minute before it did. And dogs, they hear better, see better, or differently than we do, and maybe they have a different way to tune into danger or whatever. But you name it, we heard it, is all I can say. And when you see the show, I suspect. So I was out there for about 3.5 to 4 months while I pretty much lived on the ranch that time frame. I would fly home on Friday night to see my family, and I'd fly back on Sunday night. And so I was there on the ranch for 4 months, basically living there in a trailer. And during that time frame, we heard and saw so much stuff, I don't think they can fit it all into the 8 episodes.
I'm curious, before we take a break for a second, there's been a strange series of earthquakes that have taken place in Utah recently. Have you spoken to anybody with boots on the ground there to see if any of the phenomena has changed at all during this or amped up leading up to the moment or after?
I'm surprised you asked that question, but I'm just going to have to take the fifth on that one right now. I will tell you that the answer is it's interesting, and we're looking into it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Hold tight, folks. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more secrets of Skinwalker Ranch to reveal. When we come back, you're listening to Darkness Radio.
Hey, it's your buddy Tim here from Beyond the Darkness. Let me ask you this. How's your chronic pain this week? How's your anxiety this week? I know you've been locked up in the house. Can't be that great, right? How's your stress level this week? It can't be too good either. I know a lot of stuff can't be that great this week. I know my chronic pain, it's getting better. My anxiety, especially from my chronic pain, getting better. You may be asking yourself, how is your stuff getting better and my stuff is getting worse? Well, I'll tell you why my stuff's getting better. It's quite simple. Feels. I've been telling you about feels for weeks. If you experience stress, if you have anxiety, if you have chronic pain, or if you're having trouble sleeping, I know a lot of us are having trouble sleeping, especially with the stress in our lives. At least once a week, you're not alone, especially now in these times. Many of us do. Personally, I've been telling you about my chronic injuries. I don't need to recap it here. I have my injuries. I have my anxiety because of those injuries. I have chronic pain, lots of chronic pain all over my body. In fact, the tip of this pinky, which you can't see right now, it's the only place I don't experience pain. Otherwise, my entire body is at a 7 or an 8 all the time. And then it only gets worse from there. What helps me bring that pain down? Feels. Feels has helped me. I discovered feels and it helped me bring that pain level down significantly. What is Feels? Well, Feels is premium CBD delivered directly to my doorstep, and they can deliver directly to your doorstep as well. What does Feels do? Well, Feels naturally helps reduce that stress, that anxiety, that pain, and that sleeplessness. And I'll tell you, with my condition, and I've got plenty of conditions, I've got that Charcot foot I've told you about, I've got arthritis all over my body, I've got degenerative disc condition that's been going on for decades. I've got a lot going on. I actually broke my neck. I broke my neck, my freaking neck, like Kurt Angle would tell you. Got a lot going on. But Feels has helped me with all those conditions and take down that inflammation. It's taken down that pain level. It's taken down the anxiety that happens with chronic pain. I tell you, Feels is also real easy to take. You may think that CBD may bring you a little anxiety to take as well. Maybe I don't know quite how to take it. It's real easy. You take a few drops of Feels, put it under your tongue, and you feel the difference within minutes, which is real nice. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding the right dose is important with you. Some people takes a little bit more. Like with me, I've been taking a lot of medication over a lot of years to try to reduce my pain. So it takes a little bit more CBD with me. Maybe it takes a little bit less with you. Maybe you're lighter in body mass and maybe you need a little bit less. Everybody's dose is different. So leave room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need to take more or less to get the effects that you're after. If you have any questions, you're new to CBD, guess what? Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience. You're never alone with Feels. You're never out there on an island. If you have a question, they're always right there beside you to help answer any questions you need. You can feel better naturally. Feels works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. You don't feel logy like when you're on opioids. And believe me, I've been on opioids. I kicked Vicodin. I was on Vicodin. That's all over. That's all done. Now I'm using Feels and I am getting better naturally. You can join the Feels community and get Feels delivered to your door every month. You're going to save money on every order and you can pause or cancel anytime. Although I don't know why you'd want to. I'm telling you, I'm feeling better naturally every single day. When I measure out that, I take a full dropper of Feels, I put it under my tongue, and I'm telling you, I feel better, I sleep better, I'm able to bend at the knees, which I haven't been able to do in quite a long time, and I'm feeling great. Feels has me feeling my best every single day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to Feels, that's FEALS.com/darkness, and you're going to get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, FEALS.com/darkness. Become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. One more time, Feels, FEALS.com/darkness. Do this for me. Lessen that stress today. Take that anxiety away. Help your chronic pain. Get a good night's sleep for once. For just once. It's a time of extreme stress. It's a time where you don't need one more thing heaped upon you, along with your chronic pain, along with your anxiety. Treat yourself right now. Give it a try. Get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Go to feels.com/darkness. Become a member. Get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Go to feels.com/darkness today.
Dr. Travis Taylor, our guest today, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, premiering on History Channel March 31st. Set your DVRs right now. Watch this series. I can tell you, for everything I've been reading online for the last 20 years of what people are looking for in a program like this, you are going to be satisfied and extremely happy with the protocols that they use, scientific methods, and hearing the interesting history of this locale and all of the things that are taking place there. Dr. Taylor, when you hear some of the more fantastical claims, it's easy to kind of dismiss, but once you're actually kind of entrenched in that location, does the fantastical start to sound less fantastical? Does it start to sound more possible, if that makes sense?
Well, I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. It sounds like to me that because of what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, that we've allowed the scientific community to create this sort of Spanish Inquisition and this fringe science topic that we are looking away from phenomena that's happening around us all the time instead of studying them. And I got there and I was not exactly of that mindset, but I was expecting it not to be real. And I can tell you that with my own eyes, my own technical equipment, and with multiple witnesses, you'll see on the show stuff that is unexplainable by human technology and human means. And I don't know what it is, where it came from, but I think this is the first time that there's actually real scientific evidence that's being shown to the general public as it was measured, things that cannot be explained by humanity's technology.
Was there ever any point during your work there that you received any cease and desist or gentle prodding from governmental agencies or anything to kind of leave some aspects alone?
No, not at all. In fact, I was actually encouraged to continue. And I was actually told by some organizations that I can't talk about that that our research is ahead of everybody else. And that so they're very interested in what we end up finding out. And since it's private property, they can't stop us from doing it anyway, unless they did something above and beyond, normal legality. And so I've got full carte blanche from my bosses and from the folks at History Channel and from the owner of the property. They're all very happy with what we're doing, although we're doing it very carefully now, especially after events that occurred in the over the summer, so that people don't get injured or harmed. But This is a serious thing that's happening out there, and it's likely happening all over Utah and the Uinta Basin, and people just are afraid to talk about it or don't know what to do about it. And I think it's a national security imperative that we figure out what it is.
That's fascinating that you bring that point up. You really take the element of exploration in ways that were unexpected for me, and I was happy to see that. You weren't just looking at the history or the land. You looked above and below. And I'm just curious, when you were measuring things above the property, were you ever utilizing any kind of, and I'll explain in a second why I'm asking this, night vision technology to seek that part of the sky and see if there was any kind of distortions or anomalies that you might be able to see when some of these moments were really hitting high?
Well, unfortunately, when we did those, it was in the daytime. We go back for a round two of investigations. I absolutely plan to do that at night. But in the daytime, the infrared and sky is saturated. And so it'd be difficult to see them in that particular realm, although I suspect we're going to see a lot there if we did see the phenomena occur at night. Although we did see the phenomena we saw, and that's how I'm going to leave it, across the entire visible and electromagnetic spectrum, as well as seeing radiation particles, gravitational anomalies, and all sorts of things like that occurring when the phenomena happened. And not only that, we had several biological sensors that reacted to it. And you'll get to see what that is also. But I got to tell you, I was surprised, excited, amazed, and a little bit frightened by the things we found.
The reason I ask, I went to a location, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Isetti Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. Okay. And there were so many claims being made there that it seemed impossible, like a Skinwalker Ranch scenario, that many people could be having that much happen there. And I was there on a relatively off night with the owner, and we were looking at the sky, and I noticed one small pinpoint of light that was moving. And by small, I shouldn't even say pinpoint. It was it probably like a, if I could liken it to I'm sorry, my mind's blank, sunflower seed shape that was just going in the sky. And he goes, you know, sometimes what you think you see isn't exactly what you're looking at. And he handed me these night vision, I think they were fourth generation night vision binoculars. And when I looked up, Dr. Taylor, there was in fact a triangle shaped craft that you could see through the night vision that looking at the sky with the naked eye, you could not witness. It just was not visible. And I couldn't make sense of it. The other thing that didn't make sense was everybody had those green laser pointers. So I started pushing the laser pointer right at the spot, thinking if it's there, it's got to paint it, right? Because maybe visibly I can't see something, but if there is something there, the light should stop and not pass through it, but it passed through it. So I'm not a scientist. I don't understand how all of that would work, but in night vision, I was able to see things in the sky that made no sense. And that's why I was asking if you had taken it to that level at this point.
Yeah. So we've done similar things. We did do some things with the lasers, and we saw some things happen with the laser that's completely unexplainable. But I will say that if you were going to build a cloaking system for a fighter plane, a spacecraft, a tank, whatever, then you wrap it somehow in Harry Potter's blanket. Right.
That's the cloak of invisibility. All right. Let's get the topic, the title right.
Whatever. That thing. All right. All right. You got that cloak of invisibility that Harry Potter got for Christmas or whatever it was from whoever. And so then what happens, though, is that you're changing the visible. But his body is still radiating heat. Your tank still has an engine in it. Your fighter plane still has a jet engine in there that's creating so much heat. So if you look at it through an infrared sensor or a night vision sensor that that actually it expands on the range of visibility that it looks at, then you're likely to see signatures that are outside of the visible of this whatever it is. And that's where you're more likely to see if there's a thing, like you're saying you saw a craft inside of this dot of light. Maybe it's some sort of new stealth technology, and that was one of my original thoughts, is some of these things could be man-made, but then you have to look at the orbital trajectory, the propulsion that would be required to do whatever the path it's taking, and then compare that to human technology and see if it is matching the trajectory of a spacecraft or a satellite. And then if it's not, then you're on to something.
Just for clarification, it seemed to be coming from the tip of the craft. The craft was behind it. I could only see the pinpoint of light moving. I did not see the triangle behind it. And that's what I was looking at. The triangle was not inside the light, just for our listeners and your understanding. I'm sorry if I didn't explain that properly. Now, you mentioned that there are a few times that this actually kind of was quite scary. I mean, if we stripped away the natural, meaning lions and tigers and bears and snakes and all of the fun stuff, is this property someplace you would feel comfortable camping alone in by yourself at night?
Well, I grew up in the South, raccoon hunting at night, running through the woods when I was 11 year old with my older brother. And we have swamps and copperheads and rattlesnakes and whatever, and mountain lions. And we even have bears and alligators now. So, I'm used to being outside in the wilderness, and it doesn't bother me. I mean, I walk through the woods at night and don't think anything about it. And I did that at the ranch several times. But I will tell you that things happen on the ranch that were unexplainable. And somehow, and I'm not sure how yet, it seems to evoke the emotion of concern at a minimum to some people, and to some people, absolute terror. And I don't know exactly why or how. I will tell you that I had more nightmares in the 4 months I was there than I've ever had in my entire life put together. I can't explain that.
Well, hold on 1 second. The nightmares, is that something you can at least give us a little insight on? What type of nightmares were you having?
In a lot of cases, the nightmares were ranch-oriented or creature alien abduction kind of oriented. And I always woke up in a, you know, frightened that there was something in the room with me. And then I'd get up and look, and there wouldn't be anything there. But I'd never had those kinds of nightmares before. But it makes sense. I'm in this strange environment where strange things are happening. But I also have some theories that some of the phenomena that's occurring out there may even induce things like fear or nightmares or fight or flight reflexes or something like that.
Kind of like a high electromagnetic force that may just be stimulating the pineal or other aspects of who you are?
Absolutely. That's sort of one of my thoughts. I can't prove it yet, but I'm hoping that we'll get data that'll help us figure that out. But where it was coming from, you know, where is this, the signal or whatever that's causing this, coming from? But I tell you, the dog William, he was really attuned to it, because most nights when I was having the nightmares, it was him that would wake me up, and I would go out and find something was going on.
Wow. That's, now I'm just curious as well. Did you go in for a thorough physical exam prior to doing this? And then did you do one after spending 4 months on the ranch? Did you do a follow-up to see if there was any kind of anomalous changes in any part of your physical health?
Yeah, and I don't want to give that away, because I think that's actually going to be mentioned a little bit on the show. But you know, hey, I do CrossFit every day, and I bought weights and had them shipped to the ranch, and every day at lunch break, while the other guys would go sit down and have lunch, I'd work out every day. I'd run on the ranch with weight vests. I'd do pull-ups and push-ups and stuff like that. So I stayed fit, but I was more stressed than normal. And then I actually had some physical things happen that were scary. But I don't want to go into it more than that because I don't want to give any of it away.
Fair enough. My co-host, Tim, has a question for you as well. Go ahead, Tim.
Dr. Taylor, and you tell me if I'm stepping on some stuff that might be revealed down the line, but as you're doing experiments on different types of radiation and different things on the spectrum, I'm curious, as you get down the line and you're running into different anomalies on the ranch, eventually you might want to think about communicating with some of these things as you get further down the line, if you believe they're there. One of those things is RF, and I'm not talking about radiation frequency, but simple things like, I know that the question's getting a little convoluted here, but when we go into space, we try to communicate with aliens with simple things like phonographs or even radio signals. In your experience on the ranch, are you finding anything such as radio signals? I know, you know, anything simplistic like that, radio signals, video signals, anything like that?
Well, so again, I don't want to give too much away, but I can tell you we found everything that you can imagine from one end of the radio dial to the other. But it's in a bizarre format that makes no sense, and we can't find the source of it. And there's experiments we do to find the source of it, and where we think the source is, we'll absolutely befuddle and obfuscate the picture even worse. So just wait to see the show. Okay. But yes, I will tell you that we have come up with various ideas, hypotheses, and things, just crazy wild guesses that we want to try to create some sort of communication or response. And as you'll see, and I think it's episode 4, if you've seen it, we did an experiment that actually, I think, and a lot of other people that we've talked to believe, we stimulated the response. Mm-hmm. And if it's true, then we're going to try and repeat it at some point in the future. But when you see what happened, I think it's episode 4 or 5, when you see what happens there, I think the whole world is going to be mouth agape and awestruck.
Is there fear on your part at all with uncovering some of this stuff, what it might actually mean for, you know, you said national security should be concerned about some of this. Is there any real fear on your part about what all of this could mean?
I don't know if fear is the right word, but here's the thing. You know, I wrote a textbook in the early 2000s with a colleague of mine, Dr. Bob Bone, on how to defend the planet if we were actually invaded by aliens. And it's written from a military defense standpoint. And, you know, we're screwed. You know, if they can get from there to here, their technology is so far advanced. But we went through techniques of how you would do that. And so my concern is from a point of preparedness. If this turns out to be a threat phenomena, then we have to figure out how to defend ourselves from a national and global standpoint from the phenomena. The phenomena may turn out to be a natural phenomena that could still be a threat, like a hurricane is a major civil defense threat, like a virus, as we see now, is a major global impact. And what if this phenomena is something like that, you know, we hear stories from around the world of things like this. What if this is a phenomena that is dangerous to the general public? We need to know. Or what if it's just somebody trying to say hi and we don't know how to answer, or we don't know how to understand what they're saying? We need to determine what this phenomena is.
With that said, with all the work and protocol that you put into play for season 1, 8 episodes, were there ever any experiments that you wanted to try that you just couldn't get, get it into those episodes, or that were not allowable by either production, the state of Utah, or any other faction?
Oh yeah, on the first day we met, we filmed for about 6 hours of us just brainstorming experiments and things to do. And there, and you'll see like probably a minute and a half of that in the first episode. And we've got a list, you know, a mile long, but some of them range from a 30-cent experiment to a $30 million experiment or more. And so, of course, economic constraints is the first one. And then time constraints, because we were only there for a certain period of time. And oh, by the way, the ranch is almost impassable during the winter. So it's extremely difficult. It would be extremely difficult to get out there and do any of the research during the dead of winter. You could in the fall and spring, which actually would be easier. It wouldn't be 1,000 degrees like it is in the summer. But so there's some time constraint as well. And then there's time constraint based on we're filming a TV show, too. And you got to get into 43 and a half minutes of filming, or however much an hour TV show is, of what you're going to do. And then there's the aspects of what's legal. You know, if we're going to do certain experiments, we got to get permits and that sort of thing that takes time. And so that's why one of the big experiments I want to do, we didn't have time to get approvals to do some of it. And so if hopefully we'll get season two and we'll do some even bigger and crazier, bolder experiments.
Well, I can't see how you couldn't, especially with the popularity of Curse of Oak Island and programs like that. I feel this has even more potential for what you're able to find and where it's going to take people. And the popularity of interest in the Skinwalker Ranch for so long, I think people have been champing at the bit to finally get an insight and boots on the ground and kind of feel like they're a part of this investigation.
I'm glad you said that. Let me say this right now so it gets said, and I really want to make sure that I emphasize this. It's extremely important. I know people are interested in the ranch. I know they want to go look at it. I know they want to go see it. They think maybe we should go sneak onto it or whatever, just like with Area 51, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, number one, we're doing scientific experiments all the time. Even though we're not there, we have experiments set up. And if a person sneaked onto the ranch and walked across, it could give us false data on the experiment and mess up the experiment and make us think we saw something we didn't. It could damage million-dollar equipment that, by the way, it would be worthless at a pawn shop, so don't go try and steal the million-dollar equipment either. And on top of that, it's extremely dangerous. I know you don't. People don't believe that, but the ranch can be extremely dangerous. Do not try and go and sneak onto the ranch or get across the border or whatever. And there's security out there that, you know, they're armed for a reason. Number one, we need to be able to stop people from coming onto the ranch, messing up the experiments and endangering themselves. But number two, we don't know what this phenomena is and how dangerous it is. So I just want to discourage would-be adventurers from coming out there unannounced without permission, because they could be putting themselves in peril.
Well, and here's the point, folks. You've wanted and waited so long. Now the doors are open in an unprecedented way. You get to watch this series and see real scientists, real experts go in and investigate these claims and show you they're not hiding anything in this. Like I said, I was really impressed with the fact that you can see Dr. Taylor's astonishment as things begin to unfold immediately while they're there. So you'll get to know what that is. You'll see it happen on the series. So stay in the safety of your home and watch this. Be a part of it that way. And be thankful that we have an opportunity in this day and age to take you along on that journey instead of putting yourself out there, which could, in fact, hurt you or hurt other people by your exposure to this. And until they know what's going on, I know you think you're badasses and you're urban and suburban and far away explorers, but all you're going to do is put yourself potentially in the line of real problems, because until they can reveal what's there, you don't want to put yourself in any kind of harm's way with... What if you are exposing yourself to cancer-causing issues? What if you are exposing yourself to electromagnetic frequencies, which can cause disruptions in other medical issues? You don't know it, so don't put yourself out there. Allow the people that are going in there with eyes wide open and know what they're doing and know how to protect themselves to be our guides on this journey.
Absolutely. And I can even tell you, even though we're taking very careful, extreme precautions and actually had situations where there were injuries that occurred from phenomena we weren't expecting. So do not go out there for that purpose. And again, we certainly don't come out there and mess up the experiments. There's a lot of other things that we can talk about that for reasons not to go out there. Kelleher talks about it in his book, this hitchhiker phenomena. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
No, please. I'm sure I remember it from when he brought it up, but it's been a long time, so we'd love to hear that again.
Yeah, so there's this, I don't know if you want to call it a story or a rumor or a phenomena that people who have been involved with the ranch and been on the ranch, and then they leave the ranch, phenomena continues to follow them wherever they go. And there's this thing, they call it the hitchhiker. They don't know what it is, but I know of several people who says that we've been working with that they get home and they still have some of the strange phenomena that happen on the ranch happen to them then at home. I've had some similar things happen to me. I know the other guys have. It's funny, one of the guys has not had any of the things happen to him, and he thinks we're all nuts. So I don't know. It could be psychosomatic, or it could be real connectivity, or we could be, you know, seeing patterns where patterns are not. But I know of people who claim that they've seen, like, strange phenomena at their house after they had been to the ranch, and they call that the hitchhiker.
Doesn't it make sense, though? If you think about the fact that, like, I can take a paperclip, which is not magnetized. I can rub that paperclip on a powerful magnet, take that paperclip away, and touch it to other paperclips, and they start to link. If you're on a property that's this kind of charged with whatever energy is there, magnetic, radiate, whatever, if there is something that's physically affecting you, for you to take it home with you, that's why I kind of asked earlier, if you noticed any physical or medical changes in yourself. I wonder if that is the hitchhiker. They've actually opened something that's a part of you that wasn't there before, or maybe wasn't engaged.
Well, that's an interesting sort of metaphor or idea with the magnetism and the paperclips. But my take on it is, so what physics phenomena do we know of that if you happen to be at point A and then you move away to point B, and then something can happen at point A that can also happen to you at point B across that distance, what phenomena do we know of that is explainable through physics that we understand? And the only thing I've come up with is quantum entanglement. And quantum entanglement is the so-called, as Einstein put it, spooky action at a distance, where if two things become entangled through some event, then no matter how far across the universe you separate them, they are connected instantaneously. If you do something to one, you instantaneously affect the other on the other side of the universe. And so it's possible that whatever this phenomena is, it somehow entangles us quantum mechanically. That sounds like a science fiction stretch, and so I have no way to prove that or any way to scientifically evaluate that yet, but I'm still thinking about experiments that we can do to see if it's something that could be real. And that would suggest information being teleported and or connected from the phenomena on the ranch to other locations.
How does that sit with you as you sit at home and you're your leather chair relaxing? Does it hit you that, well, crap, maybe this is going to be a part of me forever now?
I've had some talks with some folks that, you know, they won't go back to the ranch for that very reason. And what I tell them is, and they tell me I'm crazy for going back or whatever, but my philosophy is on it that, number one, fortune favors the bold. And number two, it's a national and moral imperative for us to figure out what this is, because if it's affecting people like this, this is a phenomena beyond humanity's understanding right now, and it could be a threat to, you know, our entire, you know, culture or society, maybe even to our health and safety.
We've only got a few moments left together, but I'm just curious, will we see at any point in this first season any of the former Bigelow employees or insiders coming forth to share some insights with you and your team?
I'm not exactly sure if I should answer that one or not, but I can say we talked with people from Bigelow's group. We talked with them on the phone. We visited some of them, and there might be somebody show up that was involved, but I don't want to give too much away.
No, that's a good tease. That's a good tease, because I know that's going to be a big part of why people are interested. Are we going to get a bit of the flavor from the Bigelow research? Now, can you tell me one way or another here? I mean, we've heard so many rumors over the years. Did the government actually own this property at some point during the last 20, 30 years, or has it been in private hands all along?
From every bit of evidence that we can find and that I can find, that the government never owned this ranch. Bigelow, where the government came into it is where Bigelow was being funded through that ATIP program, and they people are putting dots together and saying, oh, well, he was using that funding to study the ranch. Maybe. I don't know that. Nobody can say that for sure, except probably somebody in a that was part of that classified program. And then the other aspect, like people thought maybe back during the 40s, 50s, there was something going on at the local Air Force base there. But that base, there's nobody at that base. I mean, you can go out there and look, and there's nobody there at in Roosevelt where that is. I mean, it's like it's been shut down since like the 1890s or something like that, when it was a cavalry base. And so there's a Navy base not too far away, but it's tiny. And there's nothing that looks to me like there's any government interaction that I can point to that's causing any of these phenomena.
Are you able to, in this first 8 episodes, definitively able to button up any part of the experience, or has it simply opened up more questions that need to be investigated?
Well, I can tell you what we can button up. The phenomena is real. It is 100% a real phenomena that so far remains to be unexplained. We have data, hard scientific data, that says the phenomena is real. Other than that, I've got no clue. I don't know what it is. It could be aliens. It could be, you know, the Norse gods. It could be some ancient spaceship that crashed a million years ago underground. It could be a natural phenomena. It could be a top secret program that the government's doing, which I actually don't think it is. I have no idea what it is, but I know it's real.
Well, Dr. Taylor, would you be willing to come back with us once the series run is over, the first 8 episodes, and talk with us about what we've experienced, since this conversation was predicated on this series not airing yet and the much that you couldn't talk about? Would you come back and chat with us about what you can share?
Absolutely. Sure. I want this everybody to know that what we're doing on the series, we're showing you open kimono, everything that happened to us. And I don't want anybody to think that we're covering anything up, because there is no such cover-up happening here.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to it. Dr. Travis Taylor, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, premieres on History Channel this Tuesday, March 31st, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Check your local listings in your area for times and channels to watch this program. Don't miss it, folks. I promise you, you love this kind of phenomena. You love this kind of topic. This show is going to deliver exactly what it promises. So make sure you tune in and check out The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. That's it for this week. We'll be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. This is Darkness Radio.